This is the Gift of Gab podcast. I'm your host, Gabrielle, connecting you to the highest and flyest in the Mile High City. Follow me on all major platforms at the Gift of Gab 555. This episode is sponsored by the Ever Collection by K. Michael. Visit evercollection.nyc to get a pair of the flyest eyewear in the game. Tag me on social media in your eyewear for a shout out on the podcast. We hope that you enjoy the show.
Today, I have a very special guest and friend. We kind of went through some trauma bonding at first and then trauma releasing together this year. Mm-hmm. So I'm super excited to have you on here because I feel like that experience was pretty monumental in my growth this year.
Yeah, me too.
As much as I like would never do it again, like, I never would do that again.
You were amazing.
I'm glad that I did because one, it showed me how much of my story that I really want to tell publicly.
Yeah.
And then how much of my story I would rather tell in more small, intimate settings.
Yeah.
That's kind of how we met. Welcome, my friend Kelsey. I'm super excited to have you.
Thank you. I'm excited too, Gabby.
I love that you wanted to be on the podcast because I interviewed Tasha like at the beginning of the year. It's so crazy. I got my little warped this year on your podcast summary thing today. I was like, wow, I've really kind of been like, I have done some things this year. And same. While I'm ready to kind of grow and expand and do something different next year a little bit. I'm also really like enjoying looking back. So I'm excited to have you.
Thank you. I'm excited as heck to be here. So, I'm just inviting a bunch of people. That's why I'm staring at the thing. And yes. As you all know, my crew is like so chill and I'm like a very authentic human. So you'll see that here. And then Gabby's going to lead the way with whatever happens.
Yes. So, the first thing that I usually just kind of ask as for you to describe yourself or like tell us a little bit about you in your own words, the elevator speech, if you will.
Okay. Hi, my name is Kelsey Kiernan. I am born and raised in Denver, Colorado. I like to identify myself as a dancer, a speaker, a teacher, a leader, a producer, and I'm really an advocate for community work, and I'm really interested and very called to using dance for healing. And the way I like to say it is I am all about using our pain to turn it into power. And I went through a whole life-changing experience, kind of like what you were talking about in the beginning of this in 2017 with a big breakup. And it was with a guy that I thought I was going to marry, and all the things that like came out from under the rug when he broke up with me, like, really showed me that I had a lot of healing to do, and that I actually had been numbing myself for 16 years about the unfortunate sexual trauma that I went through with my family member when I was a kid. And what ended up happening because of that like realization was I went into like a deep, deep, deep work like year with myself. And I was using my Buddhist practice, which I think I've told you I'm Buddhist, Gabby, but I was using my Buddhist practice. I was chanting Nam-myoho Renge-kyo, and I was really seeking like answers to like what to do. And I spent like a whole like hour in front of my altar. And then I went upstairs and just in this moment of like looking through my mom's closet, this idea came to me, and it was like, there are so many women who have gone through sexual abuse and trauma, and I'm not the only one. And the use of dance and being together, like, this could be like a very powerful thing for us. And literally the name came to me too. Souls Project. So she opened Uncaged to Love Herself. And it's evolved insanely over the last 6 years. Honestly, it's evolved so much from that point. But in that moment, like, there was such a click for, like, everything that I'm, like, meant for like, lack of a better way to explain it. And it was like, I am so excited to share movement and, like, use movement. And so I dived in for, like, a whole year all by myself. Like, no matter what, every Tuesday night, I called it Souls Day, I would dance and move around and get into the groove of my, like, heart, honestly. And I, like, unveiled all this incredible stuff, and I was so connected to the divine, and it was, like, such a powerful, powerful time for me. And I created Souls Project, and right now that's, like, my big thing. Like, I'm really working on taking the lead in my life. I was messaging you that just this morning. Like, I'm taking the lead in my life, like, no matter what from this point. And I don't need to wait for anybody to, like, step into what I'm meant for with this. And, like, I've had so many different situations just this year alone that have been, like, very, very eye-opening and transformative around just how much I was, I do take action, like, all the time, but there's, like, this back burner energy that I've had where it's like, somebody has to lead me. Somebody has to lead me. And I just don't feel that way anymore. And so I'm really excited about what's coming and, like, what I'm creating, and especially, like, launching a bunch of things in 2024. And yeah. It's hot that. In here.
I know. I'm like, this sun is coming down on me. I was like, it makes me look cute, so I like it, but it's in my eyes. And I'm inside of this coffee shop in a tank top, sweating. Right, I know, right? I'm like, this is real. Okay, we still look good.
Oh, we still cute. Yeah, we're still cute. So that's, like, my little spiel.
That's crazy the difference that made. So, I love that. One of the things that stood out about what you just said was that back burner energy.
Yeah.
For me, I really describe it as always feeling like I need somebody else. Like, I need somebody else to, like, tell me I'm doing it right. I need somebody else to sit here next to me and, like, talk about these things.
Right.
And I have had the same kind of, like, just realization and recognizing that a lot of times when you're on, like, your soul's mission and you're chasing your purpose, things and people come along and they are truly distractions. And even though they might help you learn lessons that you need to learn, yes, when you're really about to get where you are trying to go,
they like to come in.
They like to come in. And
it could be people, could be things.
And they always have opinions. They always have opinions, other people. Mm-hmm. And I have mastered the art of letting go of what other people think I should be doing, but also letting go of the things that I, like, the expectations I held for myself.
Right.
And just recognizing that we grow, we change. We're not supposed to stay the same. So
yes,
I love that you said that. And I absolutely love, my favorite thing that drew me to you was the dance and the movement. Mm. I have gone through many lives. I've gone through many trainings, different things like, oh, I want to do this. I want to do this. I want to help people with this.
Yes.
And one of the things that I tried was personal training and working out. And the reason I really strayed away from that is because I like to work out. I like to lift weights. I mean, I hate cardio, but I'll do it. But for me, I really think that it's the combination of everything, and I call it movement.
Movement, baby.
Dancing to me, like, if you danced today, you got a workout in.
Period.
It's my favorite way. Like, that's how I.
Same.
I just make playlists and dance in the mirror, and it's just, it's that's contagious. Awesome. Like, it's contagious.
Yes. I love that so much.
So I love that you do that, and I love that you share it with such, like, you've shared it in the community.
Yeah.
I'm like, where are you from?
We're sharing.
But I love that you share that with the community, but I also like seeing, like, I've heard a lot about you helping kids as well, and I just think that connecting with children for me is so healing, because the inner child healing that I've done has been the most shifting. Seriously. When I've recognized through my divorce and through, you know, just breakups with friends, relationships, careers, things like that.
Yeah.
I've really recognized that a lot of the issues I have that I have a hard time getting through are from childhood.
Right.
They're not actually that my ex-husband, they're not actually this. There's something that I went through as a child that I've held on to. And I love, it's nothing against the people that raised me. I'm blessed with a plethora, a community of people that raised me. But one thing I don't even think that they knew was how to take care of yourself first, and how to cope. Like, I watched drinking and smoking and fighting and this and that, and I just feel like it's so important to to remind kids that they already have it. They already have the secret.
Yes, they do.
Each year that I've been getting older, like, I've been on this,
kids know way more than adults know.
Yeah, my moment my moment was in 2019. That was my moment that happened that I was like, okay, I am lucky that I made it through this in one piece, and a lot of people don't make it through this, and I can't live like this anymore. So I started with my daily routine, reading health, self-help books, working out, this, that, and I've grown on it, but each year...
See, that came for me in 21.
Yep. Each year that I dive a little bit deeper into the layers, and I work on healing the parts of myself that I've suppressed for so long.
Yeah.
I feel more like a child. Like, I'm like, this is what I was like when I was 13. Like, that's why I loved middle school, because I just showed up every day like I was the shit, and I didn't do anything yet. I was like, hi, I'm here. Like, you're blessed, like, with my presence.
I wonder if I, like, I just, like, had this incredible moment, Gabby, of thinking, like, am I hanging out with a girl that was a popular girl in middle school?
So the thing about
me, I'm like such a misfit.
I've never been somebody that was easy, like, for everybody to like. But I've always been a very nurturing person. I'm an older sibling of a lot of children. I'm the oldest grandchild, the oldest niece, the oldest child. So I've always had this very nurturing side about me, but I also, when I was younger, like, I just was very, I had a tough shell around me when I was little.
Which makes me so excited to meet people like that, like, in middle school, because of, like, what you're talking about with teaching kids. Like, I have such a calling to that. It's so, like, it's so deep within me, and, like, I feel like I've been meeting more people like that, who just, like, really want to serve kids. And it's such a, like, there's so much, like, downloads that happen for me. Like, you know, if someone is, like, a painter, or, like, you know, my brother's a tattoo artist, or, like, you know, whatever, like, there's all these different things that happen for them when they're in their flow. And, like, if I meet a kid, it's just, like, this whole thing starts to happen for me. And, like, I always end up, like, really supporting younger children. Mm-hmm. Like, even if I'm not teaching, you know, like, Michaela, who is in Metamorphosis, like, she's still my, like, little, she's my little sis. Like, and I just think it's so beautiful how, like, we have something, like, everybody has something like that. We all have, like, a calling like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited to get back to.
Yeah. I try to be that person. That, like, I had a couple people in my life when I was younger that kind of, not interventioned, but kind of just tried to show me, like, a better way. But I didn't have that many people like that. And so for me, I always just really try to be that one. Like, my son, like, is turning 18 in less than a year.
That's insane, girl. That's so crazy.
Because I feel like, sometimes I go to his school and I pass as a high school student. Like, they charge me like I'm a high school student, and I'm just like, cool. Like, but it's just, it's really cool to see the influence that yeah. I've had on these children, like his friends, yeah. and because they're some of my biggest like followers, and so sometimes I have to put myself in check, like, oh, these little high school kids are watching you, like, be cool, like, be cool, like, you can live, but I just admire the way that they have, you know, some of them haven't had such extenuating circumstances like we did when we were little,
yeah,
but I admire that it's starting to be cool to do your schoolwork. It's starting to be cool to not smoke. Like,
is it? That's exciting.
Yeah, it's really exciting. Like, my son and his friends, they don't. I mean, I've caught a couple little, like, weed pens here and there, like, throughout the years, but it's not something, like, the drinking isn't there. And,
wow.
And I was bringing alcohol to school in Nalgene water bottles in middle school. Like, that's how far back it goes. So
I know someone here is thinking the same thing.
I know. I'm like, so I just love being able to influence the younger generation.
Right.
Because people that are, we all need healing. We all need safe spaces for us to be able to open up, for us to be able to heal, and for us to know that we're not alone.
Right.
Like, the metamorphosis experience, I had zero guests in the audience. And now that it's done, I'm really happy about that. Because, I mean, I shared a story, but it wasn't how I wanted to share it. It just didn't come together how I wanted.
Didn't. Yeah.
And
you were such a boss, like, moving through all of that.
But it was so raw. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
But I was glad that people that I knew and that it worked out. But one thing that happened, I really wasn't, I mean, you were there. Like, I wasn't really focused on, like, I didn't see anybody in the audience. When I was up there in those heels, in my little video, and voice was playing in the background, and there was no prop chair, I was like, everything went blank for
right.
me.
Right, everything went black.
So I didn't really recognize some of the other community people that were there.
Yeah.
And I had a woman, she's with Cosmic Candles, and she walked up to me at another event, and she said, wow, out of all the stories, like, yours, like, touched me. And she shared some stories, and I just thought back to all the times in my life when I dealt with things all by myself.
Right.
Like, I didn't want to tarnish this person's name. Mm-hmm. I didn't want my dad to worry about me. I didn't want people to think that I was unable to care for my son, things like that.
Right.
And the power of just seeing, like, all the other community leaders that did it with us being so brave in sharing these stories.
Yeah.
And giving other people that, okay, like, I don't have to wear this trauma on my sleeve and tell everybody everywhere I go. But when I'm in a safe space, it's okay to let it out. And now that I have let it out, I don't feel... like, it's so crazy, and it's probably some of the woo that I do. Like, I do cord cutting things. I
woo
do
all
a
the
lot
way,
of
baby.
Stuff. Like, I'm really into the woo. But
I love woo.
But I just don't actually... I just don't actually feel it anymore. I feel like it's really, like, off my chest because I was real and raw. I wasn't like...
That's beautiful.
Oh, this, like... was maybe kind of like sexual assault. I was like, that was rape. That's what that was.
Yeah,
oh,
period.
This is period. What this was. Like, you did this and this. And
speaking it is so healing.
Pressing it down. And I just got, and I mean, it was hard. It was hard. I probably
you were amazing.
Have like over an hour of videos of me like trying to tell the story, trying to get it down here. Me being like,
I know
I can tell this story, but I don't need to like put that detail in that.
Right.
I don't need to do that. And it was rough, and it made some of the people that are the on the other side of my trauma like freak out. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, is this what? And now
that's what happened with my family at first too, because I went pretty public about my uncle in 2017, actually, you know, because it was the Me Too movement.
Yes.
I made like a art piece, and it was the first time I ever done anything like that, but like it had like a whole poem on it about like everything that happened, and then like what was once unknown is actually the very first sentence of a poem that is about that experience. And that's what I named the show in November of last year, you know, which is what Metamorphosis was inspired. What inspired Metamorphosis for Tasha. She told me that. I don't know if you know that, but.
No, but that's awesome.
Yeah, so hopefully this still goes. Yeah, it is. But, like, yeah, I went really public, too. And I know. It's wild, but I think it's really cool that you had that experience with Metamorphosis. And, like, you know, it's all intertwined with, like, I think movement is also speaking. Like, there's something super powerful about using your voice and your body and your, like,
to
your breath.
Your
to
life,
express.
Like,
to just express. Yeah, and it's so, I am, like, I was kind of blown away when I realized that I didn't really even do anything after my show in November last year. Like, why? Like, you know, but it's been occurring to me that I, like, needed this whole year to just, like, kind of integrate. Like, I felt this really powerful, like download of, like, integrate going into 2023. And I thought, like, it was going to look a lot different this year. But I'm okay with the fact that the whole year was, like, a lot of loss, a lot of failure, a lot of starting, like, feeling, like, really pushed back. And then also, like, opportunities that I had to really challenge myself through, like, Metamorphosis. And then, like, things like being given an opportunity to teach at a high school for 5 days a week and then losing that, like, this because my person that gave me that opportunity quit. And then I had to quit. Like, all this stuff, you know, like, so much happened this year that was just wild. But, like, I'm really getting, like, I keep seeing these, like, different pieces of alignments. Like, you're not the first one that's, like, bringing up dance to me again. Like, yesterday I was talking to somebody about dance. I talked to, like, 5 people about, like, dance yesterday, and I'm just, like, feeling so drawn in. And I had this really powerful poem that came through me about, like, giving myself permission. I'm kind of thinking about sharing it at Community is the Cure. Yeah, like, giving myself permission, giving my masculine side to sit the fuck down, like, permission to sit down and rest and let the feminine goddess, like, come through again, because that was when I was actually the most, like, sufficiently, abundantly, like, taking care of myself, was when my feminine was, like, way in the front when I lived in my own apartment.
Yeah, for me, it was when I was a dancer a long time ago. It was a time of, I was always hiding things. So that was, like, the hardest part about it. Mm. But the alignment of truly just using my own voice and my own, like, body and my own, like, my own creative side and just always being taken care of and always having what I needed, I was able to also feed that masculine side because I was the provider as well.
Right.
So it gave me, I just was always, like, every day I got ready. Every day I felt confident in what I was doing. And that was probably, as I've looked back through this whole identity crisis that I've kind of had over these last couple of years of, like, having to let go of a child that I raised for 8 years, having to let go of a person that I knew for half of my life, having to let go of always trying to fix everything in my family unit. I had to let all that go, and it made me really have to dig into who I am.
Right.
And when I am able to just, like, sit back and be feminine and just not have so much of that structure, like, I do it well. Like, my dad raised me, like, mostly, so I do the dad well, you know.
Right.
But when I do the dad,
do the dad well.
I call it my dad voice. Like, when I want to do something fun and then my brain's like, no, don't do that, you shouldn't do that, I'm always like, turn the dad voice off. There's no reason we can't go run around in the street right now, let's just do it.
We are saying,
but when I tap into that more just flow and just letting things, like, just focusing on me and the pleasure of life and, like, what makes me happy, like, a lot of people I hated being that sort of dancer. Don't get me wrong. Like, there was a lot of things about it that you have to deal with. A lot of energies. Like, it's just like being a bartender. You're kind of like a low-key
I'm a huge
therapist.
Advocate for strippers, by the way. Yes. Huge, huge, huge advocate. I have so many friends. In fact, I have two people on my Monate team that are both strippers. And I think it's like such a beautiful way for a
it's
woman
like
to
art.
Be empowered.
Yeah, and you can literally do it anywhere in the world. Like, you can make it anywhere. Like, you know, it's a skill to have.
It is.
But what I loved about it was always being in that, like, that essence of the getting ready, of picking out the music, of, like, being alluring. Like, all of that, I loved it. And there's just not that much other things that you can really do to get that feeling. And that's why I love dancing so much, because when I was
you're
younger,
inspiring me so much for new sessions.
When I was younger, like, there was never I never wanted to be a doctor. I never wanted to, my parents wanted me to be a lawyer because I can argue and prove a point like it's nobody's business. But I never wanted to be any of those things. I wanted to be like Mia Hamm. I wanted to be a famous soccer player. After that, I wanted to be an actress.
I don't even know who Mia Hamm is.
I don't know how old you are, but she's from the 90s. She was a soccer player. And
I don't know soccer. You and I are the same age, I believe.
Okay. But I never, and then I wanted to be in music videos. Like, I used to just stare at music videos and I'd be like, oh my gosh, look at her. Like, and then I found out the stigma around all of that. And I'm like, and it's true. Like, I've been trying to learn how to use this DJ equipment for almost 2 years now. And every time that somebody's like, you know, they want a little bit, they want a happy little ending at the end. And I'm like, no, like, I could probably YouTube it and figure it out, but I'm just like a hands-on person. So I just want someone to show me. And it's real. Like, I'm pretty sure those
men
girls,
and their penises, man.
It's real. Like, so, you know, I just forgot where I was going with this. This is why I don't smoke before the show anymore. Because I still forget.
Well, we were just talking about just like, I think our main topic is kind of like movement and how healing it is. And I don't know, like,
and just kind of,
I don't know if you have questions for me or whatever, but
yes, kind of stepping into your power and using, using these tools that we're given and really using them and taking control.
Yes.
So,
absolutely.
So tell me a little bit more, because I actually haven't really seen you since you've been starting this whole new, like, nonprofit for the community movement that you're that you're on. So tell me a little bit more about that, because that's exciting. She's like, yes, I was waiting for you to ask.
Okay. There has to be a lot of behind the scenes on this, because it actually it does take a lot of money to have a nonprofit. So my whole thing right now has been like really supporting my family through a lot of tragedy. And my uncle died like 3 weeks ago, and my partner has MS. And basically, like, when I had this idea for the nonprofit, it was in early October when I was talking about the school that I was going to work for. I was going to do the high school. It's called Mapleton. And they're a new performing arts high school, and they're so amazing. And I got to teach them for like 8 weeks in the spring, and it was just like my whole heart, like, and I was so excited to do it again in the fall. And then basically, some ishnish went down ishnish, and my person that's like kind of called the coordinator for the schools, she had like an altercation with the executive director. And I really can't talk about it too much. But she ended up quitting that day. It was a Wednesday, actually. I was sitting right here when I found out about it, because she couldn't come to my meeting that we were having to talk about my curriculum, Souls Project. Like, I was pulling Souls Project into being a curriculum for like high schoolers, and it's already been that, but like, how do I actually put it into the dance standards and like all of that? So
tangible.
I was working on that. Yeah. Like even more tangible than like what I was doing already, basically, like really fine details. And I was super excited, but she didn't show up. And basically over the a week, right before I went to the conference in LA for Monate, actually, she called me and told me about what happened, which I'm not allowed to talk about. And I just basically made a decision, like feeling it in my soul, like if Janelle's not there, I don't want to be there. Like, and I was either even further confirmed when I went to talk to the executive director, and she basically had me like do a second interview, even though I had already been working there for multiple months. And I did an interview with two brand new people who didn't know anything about me. I just felt very like disregarded and unappreciated and not valued. And yep. I'm not about that ishnish anymore. No yeah. way. I'm not doing that shit anymore. I am a highly valuable fucking queen. And no. And so I basically left and decided to quit. And I chanted. I was telling you about that earlier. Like I chanted again about this. And I was like, there is something going on, because there's no way in heck I would have such an opportunity. Like I was about to be getting paid $4,000 a month to teach dance. Like I was so excited, and it completely fell apart, and like money is not the answer for me. And they were basically pulling all of it away anyway, because they were only going to give me one class because they wanted like proof of all this stuff. Basically it was just like, this is not going to work and I'm not going to say yes anymore. And when I was chanting, it like occurred to me, like, how many people know about souls already? Like hundreds and hundreds of people. How many people have done souls? Like 50 to probably close to 100. And all of these like women that have experienced it, like it works, you know, my project works and I know it works. And everything that I want to do in the community, like with movement, like that desire, like I probably actually wouldn't be able to do it if I actually stuck with this organization, because of how much I would be working in a different capacity. And like, regardless of all of that, like I have so much support around me that I absolutely can create my own. Mm-hmm. And I don't need to work for a nonprofit anymore. I need to be a nonprofit, bitch. And so I'm very excited, because what's happened since then is it's been like a lot of research, a lot of back end stuff, a lot of like kind of observing. I'm a very observant person. Like Tasha and I have that in common, and I like have been watching and learning and kind of seeking into these different places and reaching out to places. And like, I'm really excited to speak with Megan again at Sakala, because she's really interested in having me do something there. But basically what the vision is my like movement, as we've been talking about, is very healing, right? And what's like the number one thing that people are going through on the streets? This is where like Tasha comes in, and all the things I've been doing with KOSM for so long, if you've been here for a minute, they need alchemization of their trauma, of their mental disturbances, of what their their PTSD, like all of these things, right? And like movement does that. Movement does that, community does that, all of this stuff does that. And so I'm just like, okay, I'm going to work with KOSM and do what I'm going to do, but I also really want to bring to life something that is like solely around movement. And so like Worthy Woman Movement has been like the name on top of things for a long time. But in 2021 and the year before that, I was going through so much crap with like recalibrating the way I thought about how I was going to do it. Because at first I wanted to just be like female, like womb centered, like women, like da da da.
Yep.
And then I just got all this feedback from like the schools I was talking to, like it's not inclusive, it's not inclusive, it's not inclusive. And I was like just blown away by that. And I talked about that at the show in November last year. And I went into like a deep trust fall in 2022 around that. And basically what's come out from that in 2023 is like, I want Souls Project to be super diverse. Mm-hmm. And for the thing that brings us all together is that we are using movement to transform our trauma. Whether you're a man, a woman, a kid, an elder, a transitioning person, someone that likes to do drag, someone that's freaking a penis and a vagina, like whatever. Like I want it to be for everybody. And that, and because it is for everybody, everybody has trauma. Everybody has experienced something intense like that. And so, Jess, you are perfectly on time right now, actually, because what I'm doing in the community is I'm bringing to people movement, but then also one of their basic human needs, which is hygiene. And yes, when I bring in Monique, which is my vegan, cruelty-free beauty brand partnership that I have, what that's doing is it's bringing people great product that gives them, like a tangible thing that they need, great product that they need that's going to show them like the difference in their hair. Like, talk about content to see a before and after, right? Like, and this has been on my mind ever since all this stuff completely exploded with the schools. No, not even when I started. When I started, it was completely different. I used to call myself self-care boss bae. And now I have one page. I am done with Empowered Empress. Like, I am Kelsey fucking Kiernan. I am Thriving Creator, period. And like, everything is on one page. But what I'm trying to say is, like, all of this, like, downloads happened around, like, they need basic hygiene, but then also this gift that I have, this desire, this deep calling of movement for people could be intertwined. And so I want to bring shampoo parties and dance workshops to the community. And Jess, why I mentioned her, who's on right now, her and Ashley, two of my friends in Colorado, are like doing these food drives too. And we're like talking about bringing it all together, which is where like KOSM comes into play. And it's just a very exciting thing. And so like the nonprofit, all I know so far about the nonprofit is the team is called the Outsiders. And that is like people who want to be on my team with Monique, people who want to be VIPs with me, which means just a customer. And which is huge. To be my customer is a huge, huge thing. But if you want to be a partner, like you're also helping with the referrals and everything, like it's awesome. And that's perfect. And then we go out and we do these community events, but we're also like helping directly in our community. So like we can bring our moms, our sisters, our friends, whatever. And then those people become like our potentials at those events, because obviously like a person on the street right now, they're not going to be able to buy a shampoo and a conditioner, but to give them the opportunity to wash their hair with the shampoo and conditioner is what's like making me so excited. And so like, that's what I'm all about. That's like what my big vision is. And the nonprofit right now, I actually think is going to be called Souls Project, because that's what's been sticking with me for so long. But taking away the acronym, because She Opened Uncaged to Love for Self is very like womb centered, you know. And instead, like, I want to have, I've been really seeing, because I do so much like embodiment work and I'm really connected to like major coaches and things like that. And like, I invest in myself all the time. Last night I invested in myself, like, and I'm like learning things from like all these coaches and stuff. Because I do that, I really see like this larger umbrella over Monique for me. And like Monique is like huge in my life right now, because it's what's going to sustain my family. And like, it's the highest compensation plan. It's like, holy shit, shampoo can pay you that. But like, it's insane. And then, but like, so that's like a big thing for me, but it's not everything. Instead, like my, like what I can offer the world within movement is like huge for me. And then there's these like little branches that come down, and I see like Souls Project being a branch, like being a branch of many other things, you know. And then the specific womb centered, like high school centered one is even a branch beyond that.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's really exciting, because I haven't had like creative downloads like this in a very, very long time. I've been like very, like
in survival super mode.
I've been in survival mode, but also like just very narrow minded, like narrow vision while I've been graduating, while I've been getting my dance degree. And I had no clue I would need a gap year. Like, I basically had a gap year, because like I graduated and then it was like, whoa, like 2023 was just like, hey, this person died, this person died, this person died, hey, guess what, this person died, like just constant death. Like, even only a week ago, my freaking mentor in the Gakkai in my Buddhist organization died. And so, but like, yeah, like that vision is alive in me, and like a huge big thing that I've been sharing on my stories more is like, life is so damn precious. And that's like the thing that's really coming through watching all of these people pass is like, we have to like really take hold of the opportunity that's in front of us, which is called life, and like live, like live what makes your life worthwhile, and like do it, you know? And then the other thing that's just been coming through so much is like, fuck off with when something will be in your presence and will accumulate,
like,
will be perfect because the journey, yeah, the journey is what counts. Like, I put on my story the other day, like, and I'm thinking about making it a reel, but like, it was basically that really super cliche quote. It's hitting me in a whole other way now. And it's, life is about the journey, not the destination. That super cliche quote. Well, the thing about it is, what if you thought of like, the reason why that's so true is because destination is death. It's not goal.
Like, that's
it's not goal. Yeah, like journey is so much more than what we let it be. Like, and so destination is not your goal. It's your end to your life. And that's why life is about the journey, not the destination. And it's been so powerful for me to like, I feel like that was like what I was meant to experience this year so that I can really like present that out, you know? Like, I even am talking to a friend of mine through the embodiment like crew that I'm like connected to in her house. Katie and I went to her house the other week and we made these bracelets. My friend Katie's online, but like through her house, like there's a girl there, Kate, who does like CBD products, and she's like network marketing like me. And she's really amazing, but she also went through so much grief this year, like a big divorce and like all this stuff. Her and I are actually collaborating on like, how do we bring what we've experienced to a practice? How can we teach this to people? So we're actually collaborating on a workshop, like, you know, all this different like stuff is coming through. And I just feel like everything that happened this year was like meant to happen for that. But so that's my vision. That's like what is coming to play for me with this nonprofit. And I'm just so excited because of like what I was saying about like, I fuck letting someone lead me. I am the leader. Mm-hmm. I'm done waiting for a leader. That's why they aren't here. It's because I'm the leader. And I don't care about like, I do care so much about who's with me, but like, I'm not worried about like needing to have people with me anymore, you know? And something about that is just like waking up so many people. I have like so many beautiful conversations happening finally. And it's just, oh, it's so exciting.
That's been my favorite part about this like journey, trying to figure out like what I'm supposed to do. I'm like, I know that I'm like here to help people.
Yeah.
But there's this line, this fine line between helping people and making a difference and enabling people that are taking advantage of you. And there's this little thin line right there.
Yes.
And I never really used to see it. And now
feeling around that shit.
Yes. Now I've really learned to make impact, to do things that are tangible, but not, I'm not available for everybody anymore. And it's enabled me to recognize, like you said, I love how you said, like, I'm the leader, because I started to recognize, like, I'm in charge of, like, what's going on. Even the hardest losses that I've gone through, not in a guilty way, because it's not my fault that that happened, but I've recognized in life, you always have choices.
Always.
You always have these forks.
Yes.
And sometimes when you are not being intentional and you're not paying attention to what you want or what's being shown to you, you pick this way. And then when the fallout happens from it, you have to learn sometimes, quote unquote, the hard way.
Right.
So learning to take control of your life and accept everybody that comes into your life is for a reason. So accepting that, but also that art of letting go that I've been talking about sometimes people aren't ready. Mm. And sometimes, like, even if they don't want to admit it, people have to now take what they learned from you.
Yeah.
And they have to go, put it into practice. Like, right. You can't hold people's hands. You right. can just
Oh my God, what a lesson.
Them, you know, and it's a lot
My
to
nurturing,
learn.
Okay, I was talking to, who was it? Oh, there's this girl I follow, another, like, embodied person, Kesley. And, like, my nurturing side comes out so, like, it's so clear to me now that I know. And this is a total astrology moment right here. So, but, like, my 10th house is in Cancer.
We love you,
which
too.
Means, oh, it's Tosh. Hi, I love you. My, like, nurturing side is, like, huge when it comes to, like, how I live life. And, like, the 10th house is all about career and relationship. I think you know that, whoever doesn't know. I'm super into astrology.
I know about
astrology.
Me. That's okay. it. Like, so, I don't know about anybody else's okay, astrology.
So, I'm just going to throw it out there real quick for star stuff moment. Like, the 10th house is, like, under career and relationship. It's called your mid-haven. And I am a Cancer. And basically, when you're a Cancer in Midhaven, it means that your emotions are very directly tied to your business. Like, there's a lot of connection there. And, like, when I learned that, it was, like, the biggest light bulb of my life. Like, no wonder I literally cannot allow myself to let go of people when I feel like I'm supposed to be supporting them. Like, I'm like, no, I'm your mom. Like, yes. And I'm, like, holding them with my
That's
whole.
That's a huge lesson to learn. It's so hard to
it's
learn.
Huge.
But it's important.
But I feel like the hardest moments have been what have helped me realize, like, I can be a nurturer and, like, super caring of someone's life, but actually what's the most caring, and my mom taught me this, like, I didn't have a good dad, I had a great mom. My mom taught me this, like, you're actually ripping away someone's opportunity to grow as a person when you let yourself enable and do it for them. Mm-hmm. And, like,
it's true, though.
It's such a sneaky little bitch. It comes up, and, like, it's wild how that, like, can infiltrate on us, you know. But I've had such an amazing, like, unfolding this year of, like, I will not, like, and I'm just, like, I'm swimming, I'm here, and honestly, just this month, like, truly just this month, because of seeing really, really finally, like, getting hit with my uncle dying, like, that has been just, like, I am responsible for my life, and I cannot force someone to fix their life. How much suffering comes into my life when I do that is unreal. It's just, like, it's, like, insurmountable, you know? And so
it feels like the world's literally, like, on your chest, like, on your back when you start taking on everybody else's issues. And when you're taking it on and you're feeling it so strongly for them, they're sucking. I did a session.
They don't have a way to have their own feeling of it.
I did a
just
session
feel
about
feeling it.
Letting people plug into your energy and, like, come in and just, like, your circle of influence that you have. And
I love that.
Like, your family's important. Yes, this, yes, that. But if your mother or your sibling or your significant other is just plugged in, like, draining you like a charger, like, they're taking away from you.
And I did a cord cutting like that.
The only people that should really be in this inner circle, like, this every day, this are people that you can tap into their energy when you need it.
Yes.
And they're growing, not enabling. They're growing with you. And
yeah.
They are providing
watering,
a safe space.
Watering each other.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that, it's so real, because when I take on, you know, I have a big family. I love them very much.
Right.
But when I take on their problems, they don't get better.
Like, yeah.
This year was the first year that I have really only focused on myself. And some of my moms,
I've seen it, girl. I've seen it, like, you're a boss queen.
Some of my mom's traumas, like, I didn't even have to ask her. I, like, had visions and I found them. And instead of how I used to be like, mom, you shouldn't be doing this. Mom, you need to do this. I just have been working on myself and letting her do her thing. And it's crazy because my son, he's 17. And the last time we saw my mom, he pointed it out. He said, your mom looks happier than I've seen her in a long time. And I'm like, no matter what somebody tells you about controlling things and helping people, the best thing you can do is help yourself. The best thing you can do is be the example of what people can do to get through these things, not sitting there always like, it's not all about talking them or holding their hand or even telling them what to do. Right. It's about leading by example and being that, that guide, that North Star in people's lives. Like, there is a way out. You just have to take accountability. Like, that was the biggest thing in my divorce and my just recognizing when I was feeling sorry for myself and I was like, oh my gosh, how did you end up here? Like, how did this become my life? I really thought back to all the times since I was 16 years old where I had that little fork in the road, that little choice.
Yeah.
Like, if somebody's doing that, like, it's them telling you that I'm not good for you.
Right.
But what did I do? I chose it. I chose to be like, oh, you need my help. Like, oh, this, that. And that's why I'm there. And that's why now I'm like, I'll never be there again. Because I just would never find myself in that position. I'm very not selective. Like, I have an open container for people. I talk to strangers a lot, but I don't have this, like, I don't have this container for, like, I don't allow people to plug into me anymore.
I'm right.
Like, wait a minute. Like,
have you earned that?
Seems like you have an issue over here. And while I'm sending you love and light, sounds like an issue that you have to work on. If you want some tools, like, you know, let me know. But other than that, don't dump on me. You're not going to dump on me because I'm just a really empathetic person and I'll be like,
oh my gosh, that practice of like learning how to be an empath is, I think it's like one of the most, what's the word I'm looking for? Like catalyzing things for someone like you and me who like really desire and love the like teaching element of things, you know, and like to be able to take empathy and like bring it into the practice of like holding space but not opening like everything is like huge. And honestly, like, I love that we're talking about that too, because a big piece of like why I feel my project has taken so long to really, really come out is because there is absolute possibility of it being like a trauma bond situation if it's not actually coordinated in this beautiful way, you know, which is why like I've done so much work on making sure that we have these like soul sister or like souls guidelines type thing, like this, this idea of like, I speak for myself and I listen without activating my advice, like kind of a thing. Like we have these like different moments with each other because the actual like circling and becoming, bonded together, which is a very important part of the project to me, is like, we all are working on ourselves. We're all transforming our own selves through movement, but we're also like sharing, like having accountability, deepening into like the relationships of like where we relate and like helping each other through whatever. But it's not like, okay, this person just shared and now I'm going to dump my advice on them. Like I've learned the hard way. Like that's not how it's going to work. And it's so exciting to like know that I feel insanely confident and excited about like holding space for people around this subject, around this, because of what I know, I've already experienced, but also what I learned. Like I purposely went to school so that I could really learn how to hold space in a movement creation and teaching situation, you know? And, that's why I invest in myself constantly. And like, I really am like leaning into these, opportunities. And I feel like I bring up Mani a lot, but honestly, I feel like Mani, one of the things it showed me, like we were talking about, is like that independent nature of like, you get to choose your own path and create your own way with this opportunity. And like, what that does is it gives us such like an ownership over our like our circumstance, like because we could, if we think about it like a job, let's think about life like a job. Like you have this person over here and this person over here that you like care for, let's say it's your kids, but then you also have like like your house and like all these different things. And it's like you are responsible to have an experience that you enjoy, like to the core of your being. And your benefit of that is like this deep happiness of being aware of like what you're capable of and what you're creating and what you're experiencing. Like there's something so much more there that I'm trying to bring out, but like there is a strength in, I know what I'm going to say. Have you ever heard of there's a quote that Will Smith shared that I really like, has really helped me a lot through the years. And it's like, you're not at fault for what happened to you, but you're responsible to make it better. Mm-hmm. You're responsible for what you do about it. Like, and I think like where the project is and like where the organization and like my nonprofit comes into play with that is we're bringing attention and acknowledgement to the people on the streets, and that is all they really need. And that's something that I've learned with Tasha.
Talking to people and just recognizing so that is the biggest thing, because a lot of people, I carry myself very well. I am trying to build a brand, so people see this.
You are building a brand, babe.
People see this, but I think in my experiences of sharing and just the experience that I went through with my little sister and all of those, I've really learned that sometimes people like need to hear and understand that somebody that's doing all of these things right here, like I've been homeless before. Mm-hmm. I have been like, I am lucky to be here today. Mm-hmm. Like I literally, I'm not exaggerating. I've put myself in a lot of positions.
Yeah,
and
same.
I think when you start to really acknowledge people, and even, you know, there's such a stigma around like the houselessness and drug use and all of this. And it's just crazy to me, because when you really stop trying to be in the consumer mindset, and you really start recognizing like what's going on around you, you recognize like we all have vices. We all have things, even people that don't do any drugs, like there might be a food that they use, or like some, like a person that they're addicted to, like whatever it is.
Right.
So separating people based on their vices and the things that they choose to consume and put in their body, that's not helping anybody. Like when you start to love yourself and you start to take care of yourself, you naturally, like everybody's like, oh my gosh, how'd you quit smoking cigarettes? I just didn't want to anymore. How'd you quit drinking so much? I know I used to drink like a fish, and now it doesn't make me feel good. I don't want to, but it's not because I was like, oh, this stuff is bad. It was because I tapped in with myself, and myself was like,
you got to the core.
This isn't like what life's about. So I think acknowledging people and just being relatable, like that's what makes people, I feel like that's what's made a difference when I go through things. Like when I'm just trying to go through it and get through it all by myself, I can get through it. But what happens? I don't grow through that. I just get through it.
Right.
When you have a community and you have people that share, and like I have like started to just share in little communities of people I barely know. And it's so powerful to just have that space to let it go, to let other people let it go.
Right.
And then to go back out into the world. Like, look, I figured this out. That aha moment. It happens so much for me now.
Right.
When before, like same. When you're looking for it, or when you're trying to force it, this is going to cut off, so we shouldn't talk too much longer, because I know, but I'm going to have to like stop and record again. So
that's okay.
Okay. Let's just do it right now. No fires.
The big thing I was saying, like, there's like more to it than that. And I was trying to figure it out. I figured it out. It's like, one of the biggest things about like alchemization and transformation that allows us to, like, really transform is like being able to go to the root. And I feel like that's what I'm trying to say about movement and like what has been produced for us in a lot of different spaces. Like there's so many different ways to get there, but like being able to go to your root, going back to the childhood thing, I like, that's the kind of practices that are put into place, like with what I'm really excited to bring to the community out there, you know, and like, it's just a matter of like really getting those conversations going so that I can actually like be there and do that with them and like have them be open to that experience. Cause right now it's very one-on-one, you know, and like I've had these really powerful conversations with people on the street, but like when you're in a group, it collapses time. It collapses time as fuck. Like it's huge. And so I'm hoping that we do like Winning Wednesdays again or something like that, but like in a new way, because there's something super powerful about like knowing you're coming together to do this thing. That's like, it's kind of like a book club. Like we're here to do this thing every single week. And when I was doing that
structure,
the structure is huge. I have literally, when I was doing this in 2020, which is so wild to me, like that was like my real first year. Like that blows my mind because I did it for a whole year by myself in 2017. And then 2018 in like the summerish, I finally, like my friend Allie convinced me to start inviting people and like doing the thing and like trying to charge. And I was like, ah, it was like when I was still moving through like my money shit, you know? And then like 2019 and the end of the year, the very last like session that we did, like I was like, I need to just do this. So in 2020, like even though the March 16th day like happened and like all the shutdown happened, I was like, no, like we need this.
You remember the date?
I remember the date like it was yesterday. I really do. It's a very special date in our Buddhist practice too. It's the day of youth, actually. March 16th is it's a huge day, and so I remember it very vividly. And when all that happened, like I was like, people need this. So I like asked people around, and then I actually did it online, and I did sessions every single week online for months. I really didn't know what I was doing. I didn't charge anybody. I just like did it with my community. And I remember my OGs. It was Sherry and Jules and Linda and Joy. Those four people were my like OGs. And like doing that just like show like the core is like from the root, pulling out the trauma to alchemize and transform is like the key. And I feel like powerful to do that work for yourself, like we were saying.
So there's so much that people don't realize about your body and trauma. And that's why I've really, this body talk practice that I'm starting to learn about is so fascinating for me, because it is crazy. Like you can have this trauma, and it can be from something that you know happened, but it can also be from like birth when you were getting your shot, like vaccines. Right. It can be little hormones. It can be pieces in your body where that trauma or that incident that happened sticks somewhere in there. Yep. And you just, like, I've done these sessions.
It can be before you were born.
I've done these sessions. Well, yeah, you actually go back all the way into your, like, you've been around since your grandmother, like, your mom was in your grandmother's stomach. So,
that's
a whole nother conversation. Yeah. But I did this session, and we were just working around, like, balancing and getting, like, this hormone disruption thing that I have going on. And it was so crazy because you feel different while you're doing it. And this person that barely like knows you, or maybe they do know you, they're like touching your body and they're like, hey, did this happen? And you're like, my body told you that? And they're like, yes.
That's
so
incredible. I love
so
it.
So I call it magic, but it's like tangibly, I did a foot detox after I was done. And I do these foot detoxes all the time, and it pulls out these things like using this ion technology, and the water gets like really dirty. It'll be like orange or green or black.
Right.
Well, after I did this and was trying to like rid myself of this like issue, I did one of those foot baths, and it was the darkest and the blackest that I've ever seen it.
Wow.
And
that's
I was
so cool.
Like, see, like your body, even when you can't describe it, like there's something going on in there. So I think helping people get to the root cause, but then also following up and having that community where people can really integrate it and so figure important. Out what's happening, because the stuff doesn't just like one day you just yep. are healing.
That's where the creative process comes in. Yeah, that's where the creative process comes in. And like the vision that I have is like, it's not just us going and going and going and just continually having these like sessions. It's like, what do we create with this? Like the five stages of grief, like the for example, like the end of the five stages of grief is actually meaning, and it's the sixth stage. And that's like something that has come out in the last 10 years or something like that. And the meaning is about like, what do you create with what you experienced? And so like, that's like what I see too with this is like, you know, Metamorphosis was like a preamble to like a way bigger vision that Tasha and I have talked about a ton, where it's like these stories are told through the person creating in multiple sessions throughout the year, which is what that has always been for me. And that's like how the show in November, What Was Once Unknown in 2022, came out, was I wanted to do a lot more sessions, but I only had the fall semester and I did it in like 10 weeks. But like this coming year, I'm really going to do 8 months. Like we're going to have a whole fucking deep dive and it's going to be
amazing. So I really want to, I feel like you snuck in your Monet. So we heard a little bit about that and how it's like kind of taking, like, I feel like a lot of people, network marketing is something that so many people just like don't get. So they're mm-hmm. like, but hearing somebody just kind of like slide it in and how you're integrating that with your own life, that was really cool. So
I'm glad.
I was going to ask you some questions about that, but you kind of like, I just love how you sprinkled it in. It wasn't like, it was just organic how it happened.
I really have been feeling that way, Gabby. Yeah. Like it's really, there's such a stigma, just like there are people who have stigma against like woo-ness, you know, but like it, when you really like let go of all the stigma and you just look at it for what it is, like I've been saying this, I really got to do it. There's a reel I want to make that shows like the pie of a corporation and the pie of a network marketing company and just show you like who's actually getting the best and like corporations, like they're the fucking pyramid. Mm-hmm. They are the pyramid, okay? Jeff Bezos, billions and billions of dollars,
and he pays
his freaking employees like $13 an hour. And you know what? My friend was trying. I have a couple friends that have worked for Amazon. One that I can think of particularly right now. Like their whole experience is you have to get on an app at a particular time and get all the shifts that you want. And if you don't get a shift, you don't get a fucking shift. It's like a freaking insane. Mm-hmm. It's so dumb. And it's like you have a $190 billion company. Like you're the pyramid. Okay, bitch. And like everybody that comes beyond that, all of that, like just you have to recognize that like when you work for King Soopers, when you work for like an organization that has a CEO, like all of that, like you are in a pyramid. Whereas a network marketing company, I could get on a soapbox forever about this shit. But in a network marketing company, I showed this to Chris the other day, like the pie, 80% of the pie is actually for the marketing brand partners. And 20% is for the people who created the company in Monty. Specifically in Monty, the company is owned by a family and the family only takes 20%. And then their people who work in like the offices take 30%. And then there is 70% goes to the market partners, which is what I am. And that's because they don't need marketing. They don't need commercials. They don't need stores. Everything is in one warehouse in Miami and people get in order and it's a direct sale. So they're able to give 70% to the people who are just like me, an average Joe, a single mom, a model. I'm thinking of Ashley, my mentor.
I know how exciting that she's got that fitness wear. Like, woo! Oh my gosh.
And that's all because of Monique. Like,
I love watching her. I love watching her.
I love watching her too.
I'm going to get her on here someday.
Yes. So I invited her to watch for sure. Hello, hello. But yeah, like that just in and of itself, like I could just go on a soapbox forever, but I want to make a reel, like just showing that so people could see, like we are indoctrinated to think that it's a pyramid. It's not. It's a pool. It's actually a big web.
When I
that's
start
what
talking,
a network.
It's called
marketing.
The Matrix. That's what it's really called. And when people Matrix. Are always asking me, they're like, "Well, why would they do that?" It's money.
It's money.
And it is so deep rooted because how do we survive? Money. So how do they control us?
Mm-hmm.
By controlling the amount of money that we can make, the amount of money that we need to spend to live.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole nother topic, and that's going to be a whole episode on its own. I
Period.
Love it. But because of the sake of, you know, learning how to hold this space, but stay on track. But before we go.
Yeah, you have to get
here. Before we go, and I have to pee so bad. I stay hydrated, and I'm like, ah! But before we go. What are some last, like, words of advice, words of wisdom, if you're just, like, telling, like, that you like to share? Not necessarily about what you have going on, but could be about what you have going on.
For anybody, all your listeners and stuff, well, I definitely want to just say, like, hold gratitude so, so close to your life, like, every single day. That is still like one of the biggest lessons of my life. Like I was such an arrogant young 20-year-old. And I know it's why I ended up homeless twice. Cause I just wasn't like telling people what I was like really needing. And I like kept trying to do it all myself. And like when I finally had that major shift in my life of like, there's this whole story around it. But when I finally had that major shift, like the thing that was so prevalent to me was, when we are actually aware of what we already have, it expands and extends out and grows so much. So like hold gratitude really close to your heart at all times, even if you're struggling a lot. Like there is something to be grateful for. Take it from someone who barely had a job, didn't have a place to live, lost my car, was not in the best relationship. And it was the dead of winter. Like I that's when I realized that I had like nothing, and I started being grateful, and just so much has expanded from my life since that point. And then also just one more thing, like going back to what I've learned this year, like really, really ask yourself, like instead of thinking like, what do I want to do with my long life? Think about it. Like, what if I lost my life? Like, would I be happy with what I'm doing? That really comes to me about Jessie Lee.
Thank
like,
you.
She's a powerhouse, beautiful woman that's, like, one of the biggest earners in the whole world with network marketing. And she gave and gave and gave and gave and gave every day. And she died at 34 from colon cancer that she found out about only 7 months ago. And it's just insane. Like, you have no idea how long you have on this planet. So like,
so that all that money and all that quote unquote success mm-hmm. is only so much if you're not happy like, inside, or you're not leaving an impact on people's lives.
Right. And she was like, she is such an inspiration to me. So just really think about that for yourself too. And like really recognize that, what if you were not going to live for the next year, like what would you change in your life? Start today, no matter what, you can do it. Oh, thank you for having me, Gabby.
I love that so much. Thank you for coming. So tell them how to follow you real quick.
Okay. So I am Thriving Creator on Instagram. That's Thriving_Creator. And then I also am on Facebook as Kelsey Kiernan, and I'm on TikTok as well. Worthy Woman Movement is my TikTok. She's a little baby right now, so there ain't not that much stuff on there, but I'm really excited
to learn
more.
Someday. We'll learn someday.
Yeah, I'm going to be putting a lot of embodiment stuff on there. And if you follow my Instagram, which I mostly recommend, you're definitely going to see like the information coming out for Souls Project and and the community that I'm building.
The inspiration is the word I'm looking for. I'm like, oh, look at her dancing for us all with her hair up like this. I love that.
It's
a good account to follow. I control what I follow, and I like following you.
Thank you, Gabby. That means so much.
Thank you so much for coming on here and enjoying this especially long episode. It was really great. And we dropped a lot of jewels. So
thank you.
Yes.
I love you. Thank you. I just did an interview. I hope you enjoy it.